So, this all seems horrible.
It was bad. It had nothing, no fire, no energy, no nothing.
God help me.
Hello, and welcome to Upon Second Viewing, the podcast where we give another look to our favorite filmmakers' worst-reviewed films and find out what went wrong, or if it was really as bad as they say. I'm JT Sodergren of Quarantine Film Club.
In a world where freedom is history.
Where am I? What is this place?
Get them out and get them clean!
Brutality is law.
Rise from your master.
The powerful rule by fear.
Next you'll be telling us these beasts have a soul.
Is there a soul in there?
It's disgusting the way we treat humans.
How the hell did they get like this?
What other way would they be?
If they see you on the street, they kill you on sight.
You stay here, you're already dead.
Which tribe are you from?
United States Air Force. I'm going back. Bye.
Some humans have escaped.
Is there another way out of the city?
I can show you the way.
They travel with a...
Declare martial law. We underestimate this human.
The hell are they?
The story is spreading through the villages. They all want to see this human who defies the apes.
Full division! Full battle ready!
It's over. There's no help coming.
You came.
Sound the call to march!
Get me the spaceman.
You just heard a snippet from the trailer for 2001's bonkers remake of Planet of the Apes, directed by Tim Burton. The movie was basically cursed from the get-go, with numerous well-established filmmakers such as Sam Raimi, Michael Bay, Peter Jackson, and even the Hughes brothers passing on or dropping out of the project. Burton joined on basically as a hired gun, and soon rabid anticipation grew from the prospect of having a visual genius like the director of Batman, Beetlejuice, and Edward Scissorhands taking over. The film already had a release date before Burton even began pre-production, meaning everything from script rewrites to filming to special effects editing had to be rushed, leading to Burton having a genuinely awful experience making the movie. When asked after completion if he'd be interested in helming the sequel, Burton responded that he'd rather jump out of a window. Actor Tim Roth, a staunch anti-gun activist, was equally mortified when he learned he'd be sharing a bunch of screen time with NRA President Charlton Heston, and also slipped two discs in his back due to the constraints of his costume. Additionally, megastar Mark Wahlberg dropped out of Steven Soderbergh's Ocean's 11 reboot in order to work with Burton, but has since admitted that because of the studio's involvement, things did not work out the way they had hoped, and said that the film set the franchise back quite a bit until the more recent trilogy of Apes films reinvigorated it. But is Burton's film really as big of a catastrophe as it's remembered to be? Our guest today doesn't believe so, as we welcome artist-slash-activist Haji P. of HPFangs.com to discuss the much-maligned sci-fi reimagining and whether it's deserving of all the hate. Enjoy the show.
So, when I gave you the list of movies to look through, I was hoping that, like, all right, let's get something where we could talk about, like, social justice or, you know, things that are important to Haji that he's been working on with, you know, these projects and this and that. When the response was almost immediate that you were like, Planet of the Apes. And I was like, oh, all right, maybe my man's just a big Tim Burton fan. I don't know. I have never seen any of the original Planet of the Apes films. And I love the new trilogy, right? The recent ones. And I'd only seen this Tim Burton one in the theaters.
So that was like 20 years ago.
And yeah, all I remember.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Yeah. And all I remembered of this movie was Paul Giamatti. That's all I remember. And I didn't.
His character was phenomenal.
Well, we'll talk about him. We are going to talk about him.
we'll go through our definitions of phenomenal.
Well, I think he plays the same character exactly in 12 Years a Slave, which is...
Mm-hmm. Which then makes that character better. Well, we'll get into all those.
Yes, so this is the first block that we're going to get into. So when you responded, Planet of the Apes was like, dope. I haven't seen this in 20 years. I love the new ones. This will be great. And I put it on and I sent you a text like, holy shit, Marky Mark's in this. I forgot all about... if you would have told me... name who's in that, I'd be like, Paul Giamatti, that's all I got. And so I start watching it And as it goes along, I'm just like, oh boy, this is going to be a interesting conversation with my guy. So I want to know, A, why you were so enthusiastic about picking this to begin with, before we get into whether it's good or not. But
yeah,
why you were so enthusiastic, and does it have anything to do with maybe the unfortunate, it has not aged well, let's just say that. But I'll let you take the mic.
All right, so originally, like, so I went down through your list, and to answer your immediate question, where you were like, yo, let's get into something deep that we can talk about and social justice. I'm white, you know what I mean? I'm white with talking about social justice. I feel like, because it's been such an integral part of my last few months, and that's all people ever want to talk to me about now is social justice, that it's good to just not be that guy for a second. I think my other choice was going to be Weird Science. I saw Weird Science, and I was like, I'm down to have a 2-hour conversation about Kelly LeBrock right now.
I could join on that for sure. Those were formative years when I saw that movie.
Then I saw Planet of the Apes, and it was no contest. It was no contest. So I have a theory that the best movie ever is produced by Spike Lee, mm-hmm. written by the Coen brothers, directed by Tim Burton, and casted by Jim Henson.
I love it. I wanted to do the Muppets with you too, but I'm glad you brought that up.
And this movie is the closest thing to that.
That, man, actually, now that you mention it, it is about as close as you can get with all of those people you mentioned, like hitting below their weight class, like just not bringing the heat. They're like, all four of these people coming together, it's going to be amazing. And they hit about 30% of their potential, all of them together.
It's like all of them just threw their like first ideas in a hat, and like some bootleggers stole it and made the movie.
Yeah. We don't have to get into the social whatever the things, but I do think it's important to talk about kind of the lazy comedy that some of the scripts, there are script problems to begin with, but I think it just hasn't aged well, and maybe the early 2000s was just a time when making fun of Rodney King was still like an okay thing to do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and there's like passing references to like Separate but Equal. I think they actually say Separate but Equal. And
they actually say Separate but Equal.
Yeah, I think that's actually like a quote that Paul Giamatti says. And, yeah. And little things like the apes getting really offended if they're called monkeys kind of thing. And there's just little it's not even context.
And that's the Spike Lee production.
What's that?
I said, and that's the Spike Lee production.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I just don't think that this movie could be released today with any kind of good conscience.
See, I think if it were directed today, mm-hmm. right? If Tim Burton were to direct it today, those facets would have been a little more refined. Because it's the same thing as like the Planet of the Apes now, right? Like if you look at the...
Well, I kind of feel like those are war movies more than they're like slavery, you know...
There's no shoe on the other foot
kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no enslavement in those movies.
No, they're just riding horses with machine guns. It's fucking awesome. I love those movies so much.
But then like they're such a stray, which makes them good movies. I'm not saying that those are bad movies, but it makes them a stray from the original
right.
Like, the Apes movies.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't really speak on what this was. Other than I saw it once 20 years ago and thought it was fine.
Yeah, like you have this whole, because what it is it's this whole archaic take on like human nature, mm-hmm. and what happens if humans would have never, or if like the chimp, the first like ape, just kind of evolved through humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like the humans were the ones who only hit this level of evolution. You know, like the same problems still exist. You don't get away from those problems. Evolution doesn't cure like classism, racism, and you know.
Right. No, you like, yeah, you're exactly right. Evolution doesn't, and if it does, it's we're talking hundreds, thousands of years.
We still haven't hit it.
Yeah, exactly. Like they keep saying like, oh, everything since the 60s, can't you see the dream? You're like, it kind of still fucking, it's still the same.
We're just in a less worse time.
And we're going to keep a more woke time or whatever, but it's not, it hasn't taken the problems away. It's just, hey, look at all the problems. At least we're looking at them. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, exactly. At least we're looking at them and, you know, there's more voices against them. And eventually, you know, eventually we'll get to a place where it won't be as totally sucky, but it's always going to be somewhat sucky.
Well, depending on your like geographical locations and things like that. Yeah. And even in the more San Francisco places of the world, it's not like it's utopia there either. So it's,
yeah.
You know. Well, when we're talking about the filmmaker, Tim Burton,
mm-hmm.
do you think you would recognize this movie as a Tim Burton movie if you didn't know who made it?
100%, if for no other reason, Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. All right. Well, if you don't have a cast list, I mean,
you don't even need the cast list to know that's her.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And is she in anything else that's not Tim Burton?
Fight Club.
Okay, fair enough. But that's weird enough to be.
Yeah.
But no. And so part of the reason why I love this is I love Tim Burton films, love them. They're so aesthetically fantastic and representative of whatever world he's trying to create. And sort of the Burtonisms is always that dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's the gothic kind of verging on like, not black and white, but just the high contrast.
Yeah,
blues and darks.
That blue is always there in this scene that looks like theater. It doesn't even look like cinema. It looks like theater.
Mm-hmm.
I
kind of feel like the one scene in the film that achieves that, what you're talking about the most, is the when Charlton Heston's ape is in bed and dies, and it's like chamber canopy bed, and the big like red heart thing that has the pistol in it, that, you know, that is a very, and it's weird because that's like the brightest scene in the film, but that is like quintessential, like big weird looking things.
Yes, you know. The only thing that doesn't make it in the part that I will scratch my head about forever is, how does Marky Mark even get on Tim Burton's scope? I can't explain that.
I know that in my limited research. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, because it sounds like you have more information to give.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that he was up for the lead with a few other people. And he was actually cast as Matt Damon's role in Ocean's 11 when this was going around. So he actually quit Ocean's 11 and that whole franchise to work with Tim Burton. Like, he's like, Planet of the Apes, I'm going to meet with him for 5 minutes. They literally met for less than 5 minutes. And he was like, cool, this is what you want me to do when you're directing? Just, yes, it's fine.
But how does Tim Burton even allow that?
Well, because Tim Burton is a hired gun on this. Like, this, there were so many direct, you know who was the last up, but like who was going to direct this movie before Tim Burton took over? The Hughes brothers.
This movie is getting so much better.
Yeah, so the Hughes brothers were going to make it, then they dropped out to do From Hell, I think. And then, Tim Burton, they finally talked Tim Burton into doing it with a giant paycheck. And so he later explained the whole ending, how it doesn't really make any sense. And he was like, oh, well, they wanted us to set it up for a sequel in case it made like $500 million. And it made like $150 million or something.
And it was still a very good nod to the first one. So to me, it didn't not make sense. It still kind of landed on that significant historical monument or American monument, where on the original, it landed Statue of Liberty. Now you're at the Lincoln Memorial.
Right. And I think it's just like the whole time travel aspect, like how he got there before the whole time warp thing. Well, anyway, Burton explained that they were going to figure out a way that makes sense in the sequel. And when it made a profit, they came to Burton and were like, hey, you want to do the sequel to Planet of the Apes? And he was like, I'd rather jump out of the building. So like his quote, I'd rather jump out the window. And so they were like, well, I guess no sequel then.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So my point with Burton is that I kind of feel like this isn't Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. It's Planet of the Apes directed by Tim Burton. Whereas like Edward Scissorhands is Tim Burton's Edward Scissorhands. Yeah, that's like obvious.
All day.
Or even that last one the one a couple ago where he, Big Eyes. It's like a drama about a painter, but you watch that and you're like, well, this is a Tim Burton.
That's clearly Tim Burton.
Yeah, exactly.
I hear everything you're telling me, but like, I feel Tim Burton all over that movie. So without knowing what you just said, I still would have been like, yeah, this is Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes and like, give it to me. But like, why couldn't we get Johnny Depp? Because just there, I feel like those are your people. That's your Brat Pack.
Was this when Pirates was coming out? Was this right when?
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
So he was probably like, I got to make six movies over here real quick.
He was like, look, Timmy. Yeah. My guy,
why didn't Tim Burton make Pirates of the Caribbean movies?
How good would that have been?
They might have been just good, period, instead of terrible. But you know, I like you would watch anything that Tim Burton does. It's just he's more successful other times than he is other. I mean, I loved Dumbo. I thought Dumbo was great.
Yes. Asterisks, yes, but yes.
Maybe it's Michael Keaton was in that, wasn't he? I think it was Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Old Michael Keaton is so much better than
young.
Not that either of them are terrible, but there's something about old Michael Keaton that, like, yo, stay out of that dude's way and just let him work.
Are you talking about old man Michael Keaton or old as in 80s Michael Keaton?
Oh, sorry, no. Old man Michael Keaton.
Yes. Old man Michael Keaton has taken a sharp turn into, I'm just going to make stuff to win an Oscar. And I love it. Yeah. He's my second favorite actor of all time. So I was a little worried when you were talking about whether either was terrible. So I was
No, neither is terrible. neither. There's just something real visceral about old man Michael Keaton.
I'm writing for tomorrow's post about the trial of the Chicago 7. Have you watched that yet?
Not watched that yet.
It's great. And Keaton shows up for about 10 minutes and just walks in. I'm surprised he wasn't chewing gum the whole time. Cause he just walks in. He's like, I'm just going to go ahead and take this movie over for 10 minutes. And I'm just he's in court. And I think he's like slumped over the side, just like, what's up? You want me to just kill this scene real quick? All right. And then I'm just going to walk out the door and you'll never see my character again. And everyone's just like, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and speaking of Michael Keaton, he said that the only sequel he would ever do is Beetlejuice 2. And that's the only film that Burton has in his upcoming schedule. Beetlejuice 2. I'll take it.
Cannot wait.
I cannot wait.
Fun fact, and I know we're getting away from Planet Asia, and we'll get back to that. But my students just yesterday put me on to Beetlejuice the musical.
I've heard of this. I don't know anything about it.
There's a musical, and it's no Hamilton. But I tried to give it a shot because I really like the movie, obviously. But the guy who did it, he just sucks. He looks like he owns a brewery that people only go to on like a Tuesday afternoon, and that's it. He's just a trash guy. He just looks like a trash guy. He probably wears a lot of affliction and sandals.
Is this the director of the creator of the show, or the guy playing Beetlejuice?
This is the guy who plays Beetlejuice.
Oh, get him out of here. That's
yeah. Beetlejuice doesn't have a manicured beard and Guy Fieri hair.
No. What? No.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I mean, there are just some iconic roles that it's like, and if Michael Keaton's already touched it, what are we doing? Every Batman since is not.
Then yeah, what are you doing over here?
Oh, you're a comic guy, of course. Like, are you a Michael Keaton Batman? Is that your guy?
Is Batman my guy?
No, is Michael Keaton
Michael Keaton Batman my guy?
Yeah.
Let me
are
tell
you a Christian Bale guy?
You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you can't top that.
No.
But again, I feel like that's comparing apples to oranges, man. Because like that trilogy is untouchable.
It's pretty good.
It's on to like, oh, the first two, I mean, freaking Tim Burton, man. Like,
yeah.
They both hold up. So I don't know.
They do hold up. Even like as campy and Burton-y as they are, like, I like the Nicholson Joker. Like, I like him to have a little bit of fun.
I even like the Batman Returns. Like, it's not a lesson.
Oh, it's dark. It's great.
Yeah. Like Michelle Pfeiffer falls out of a building and gets like torn apart by cats.
She also licks Michael Keaton's lips, which I've had.
She swallows a fish.
I think she does. I think that that lick of Michael Keaton is like taking over the frontal lobe of my brain since a child. It just inhabits that whole sector.
I'm gonna give this podcast a serious piece of discretionary HGP information. I lost my virginity on Halloween night to a girl in that costume.
Fuck you. That's amazing.
Who showed up and like I was lame. I was a nerd in college because I had to protect the scholarship. And so I'm just like in my room and like she like comes and shows up. She's got the whip. She just came back from whatever Halloween party. I am watching the Flintstones. This is the level we're at. I'm 18. She's 21 or 22. This is the levels we're at.
It's amazing. But
I can't unsee that. So you talk about something that's occupied in your brain.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. I'll have to share with you my story one day because it's
tight.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, okay, so how many times have you seen Planet of the Apes? Let's get back to it.
This was the first time that I've seen it last time I saw it, I was in college. So,
it's been a while for you too.
Yeah, so it's been a while for me too. I've probably seen it maybe three times, maybe three times before this.
Okay. Where do you rank this in Burton's canon? Do you think this is like upper echelon Burton? I mean, that's a tough sell if you're going to claim that. But
No, this is definitely not upper echelon Burton. I put it before Dumbo.
Okay.
I definitely put it before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Okay. I tie it with Sweeney Todd because
that's crazy.
I really like Sweeney Todd.
Me too.
A lot of people hate on it because it's a musical, which
really?
I didn't know going into it. I didn't know that going into it, but like, I really like the movie. But I just, I like Planet of the Apes for just because how angry General Thade was for not really any reason. That and the constant back and forth between Earth Girl and I forget her name. Ari.
Estella Warren.
Say what?
Estella Warren, is that who?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between her and Ari, Helena Bonham Carter's character, mm-hmm. It was just, and it was never really addressed. And he just like makes out with both of them in his peace.
Okay, so Helena Bonham Carter, Ari, is that her name?
Yeah, Ari. Yeah.
So Ari is, what's even the word? She is really going for it with
Marky Mark.
Yeah, she's thirsty, the thirstiest I've ever seen. Like if you were at a house party, remember those? If you were at a house party and you just met this person and she mm-hmm. was all up in your business mm-hmm. like that, you would leave that party, I think, or at least find a safe place. She's a bit much.
I'm gonna throw something at you and this could be 100% accurate. Or this could go really south.
Okay, I love it.
So, in this context, right? Marky Mark is like the only black guy at a party with Ari being a white woman, never really exploring, but being curious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this will make my dad real upset. Let me see what's up with this man. Meanwhile, Earth Girl, which I don't remember her name.
Her character's name, I have no idea. It's Estella Warren. I just always call her Estella Warren.
Yeah, Estella Warren.
And she's got a name where you have to say her both, both of her names, Estella Warren.
So is essentially has the attitude of a black woman who's watching like her man go to like,
in this,
it's nuts, and I don't want to be on record as saying that put me on record as saying it. That's essentially exactly what it is.
Okay,
it's what it is.
I never experienced this phenomenon, but I'll take your word for it.
I have experienced it.
I'm sure you're a handsome man. Sure. She's thirsty, but you brought up somebody that I don't know why I overlooked it because I definitely want to talk about Tim Roth in this movie. I don't know if, am I coming through? I feel like I'm breaking up. I'm gonna have to take this out.
No, I can hear everything you're saying. You've been clear this whole time.
Maybe it's my service. All right. Okay, we're back.
You're clear on my end.
Okay, cool. Tim Roth is terrifying in this movie. General Thade. Why is he so mad?
This is never. You try to piece things together. Like, he wanted Ari. I don't know if they were like at Monkey Junior High together or something, because there's no,
I don't like that word,
real context given for their for their prior relationship. There's no reason for him to be that upset.
Yeah,
because he was upset even before Man came through.
He reminds me a lot of Ralph Fiennes' character in Schindler's List, where you're just like, my guy, have you seen Schindler's List?
Yes.
Yeah, so like, my guy, you've got a perfect 10 model in your bed, naked. Why do you feel like you need to like put your suspenders up and go out and shoot Jews out of your balcony? That is not impressing her. And like your whole tactic is ass backwards. Oh, you're a psychopath. I get it. But that's really the only character I can compare Thade to. I know it's, we're talking Jews and monkeys apes here.
But yeah, because there's never any real reason for it, because he was that way before the onset of the Funky Bunch. I mean, I guess there was always the Earth stragglers that they were always trying to capture to make pets. You know what I mean? Because to make pet slaves, you know?
Yeah.
They were slave catching.
Okay. So who was the first of the humans to show up at the planet?
So when the movie opens, and also this is another one of those scenes where in this entire movie where there's one black man.
Okay, so this is what I'm curious about, is because that opening where he crash lands and then there's 300 people trying to escape at once, not really sure where they're escaping to. All white people except for, like one black guy, maybe.
Like one black dude.
But it's like, okay, so this wasn't a situation where there was like two people, Adam and Eve style, and now there's 300. It's a situation where people have been coming to this planet, but where are they coming from and when?
And it's, it would be like the equivalent of, you know, like, there just being a chimp infestation in San Francisco. You know,
and you're like, where did all these chimps come from?
Like, where did all these chimps come from? But here's my, and here's one of my biggest problems, and it's a problem that I have with Star Wars, is, you know how big a planet is?
Right.
People talk about planets like, oh, get him off this planet. My man, a whole planet, like where you're at can't be, you're in like Detroit. You're in like 8 Detroit right now. A whole planet. This is what's going on in the whole planet.
Right. Like there's not on the other side. Like they don't have transportation. So it's like, there are other places. So, yeah.
I guess that's it. That's a worldview. But like, I don't know what's happening in Wyoming, and I got transportation and the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like, when they talk about like protection of the planet and this is it, I wish they would be like, you know, what's happening in Apeville or, you know, Simiopolis, just something. Because that part, it always throws me for a loop. Always throws me for a loop, and it does it in Star Wars too. Like, it's hard for me to wrap around that there's this travesty happening, even in The Mandalorian. There's this travesty happening, right, but y'all are making it sound like it's happening across the planet.
Right. I've never been too big on sci-fi in general. It's just not really, like, as soon as people start going to space, I'm like, well, enjoy your time. I'm gonna hang out here. But I don't really, my suspension of disbelief when it comes to sci-fi, I think, has to just go out the window immediately, because I'm so nitpicky about, like, when I'm watching Star Wars, I'm like, so this dude just hyper whatever to this other planet to, I don't know, like, start a fight? And why is everybody living in, like, huts when you have the technology to build hyperdrive space stations? Where are the cities? Is it just the whatever Dagobah, or I don't know what that is, but
it's just a Dagobah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, these are all valid questions. They're all, I mean, I love sci-fi just because, you know, it's fantasy, and I don't all the time love a real movie that, or a movie that could happen in real life, because boring. I'll just wait for it to happen in real life.
Yeah.
Nope. But you just built an entire Millennium Falcon, but my man had to put together sand and rocks to raise a family in.
Yeah, he's living under a rock and wears the same, you know, tan burlap sack for clothes every day. But he's got a wand that can make a map of the entire solar system in air.
You have a sword that can emit a strong enough light to cut through armor.
Steel. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't get it. Yeah, and what's the deal? If they had the technology, because we're just, let's just talk about Star Wars real quick. If they have the technology to make lightsabers that like cut through steel or whatever, why aren't there laser beams from their zappers, shooter things? Why don't those penetrate steel?
No, it's the G.I. Joe suppressive fire.
Yeah, like, I mean,
we just want to push you a little bit.
Yeah, and also, why aren't the stormtroopers have better armor? You would think the Empire would be like, yeah, we should really not just give away all of our troops. We should probably protect them a little bit, because you know, you flick these guys and they go down.
But yeah, they're just out here in like high fashion Tupperware. But the reality of that is also, our military doesn't provide the best protection.
Well, that is true.
You know, like we have outdated equipment. Like we're out there in 2020 wars with 1965 like Kevlar.
Yeah. And if they can put nanobots in your vaccines, then they should be able to protect a Humvee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not a real conspiracy theory, by the way, if anyone's listening. I ain't on that ship. But yeah. All right, man. Well, I mean, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but do you have any parting thoughts about Planet of the Apes? Are you recommending this to people?
I'm recommending it to everybody.
Okay.
Like, I enjoy this in the scope of at least Planet of the Apes movies. I enjoy this movie more than I enjoy any of the other movies.
Any of them?
I mean, like, the original, obviously dope, but because it's a little before my time, kind of dated. But it's kind of cool to see what, like, my mom and grandfather saw in a Planet of the Apes movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the same reasons they were hyped about it, I'm hyped about it. And, like, the new one, it's dope. Like I said, it's this cool war movie. But it's not
like the traditional ones.
Well, not because it's like the traditional one, but like I want to see zippers. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Like, oh, so they're you got an issue with the CGI. You want
it's monkeys? Like, I don't want to see real monkeys. I want to see monkey people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and even in the later ones where the chimps or whatever are, you know, speaking fluently and they're moving like, well, they're upright at least a little bit and kind of doing that. It's cool because it does look very realistic. But I agree. You kind of want Helena Bonham Carter getting all up in your junk.
Yeah. I enjoy that. Yeah. I was talking to my buddy Dunny and we were just talking about like horror movies and like new Godzilla. It's the zipper in the back theory. Just something about that makes it, because they're inherently campy movies.
Yeah, I think you're already suspending your disbelief. It's fun. It's like, really, is if seeing the quote unquote zipper effect or whatever, like, that's not going to take you out of this movie. There's not really a Planet of the Apes. There's not a time warp. Like, you're already going behind that, so why not make them look ridiculous because it's more fun?
Yeah, let's just go all out. Let's just go all out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in conclusion, I definitely recommend it, and I'm probably going to watch it again after just seeing it recently.
I am glad I revisited it. I'm not putting it as the dead last worst Burton movie, because that's what, according to critics, this is the worst one.
It's kind of like, will always be my favorite Marky Mark video, which is kind of the only reason I give him credit for this, is it's almost like his character in The Big Hit. It's like The Big Hit in Simeon Town.
Yeah.
Like, it's The Big Hit is obviously like brighter and, you know, it's
crazy. Is that a Mick G maybe? I don't know.
Like, yeah, like Christina Applegate is kind of like an Ari. I don't know. It's like, that's what I see in that movie. But, you know, take my word for it.
Well, I mean, I do think that Burton is also a guy where he just doesn't really make bad movies. So even though this is the worst of his catalog, It's not like it's
a lot better than.
Yeah, you can. It's not like you're going to get up and walk out. It's like it's there's directors on this list that we made that I'm like, are we really going to do the Coen brothers? Are we really going to sit around and talk about Paul Thomas Anderson? The guy, yeah. They don't make bad movies. So, I mean, I guess it'll be fun to sit around and all just, you know, praise the Hudsucker proxy or something. I don't know. Yeah. That doesn't sound very fun. So, yeah, Burton's one of those guys that I think he is divisive just because people don't like the zipper effect or people want more normalcy and not these weirdo goth movies.
Because that's what it is. Like, you can, if you don't like Tim Burton, you don't like Tim Burton.
Yeah.
You know,
and you don't like fun.
Yeah. I don't think there's like a midway. Like, if you like Tim Burton, you like Tim Burton.
Yeah, that is. If
you don't, then like you just don't care.
I wonder who his muse is going to be now that Johnny Depp's canceled. He's canceled, right?
Is he canceled?
I don't know. It's hard to keep up. I have to read up on that. Yeah, I think so. I think he got a little punchy with the ex, and so now he's.
Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of lame, or super lame, actually. All right, man. Well, this has been great. Time flies. Why don't you tell the people everything, all the things that you have going on and where they can find you and everything.
All the things. I don't know when this is going to release, but if it releases at least within the next 2-3 months, I am heavily into commission season, which means I do characters for like Christmas gifts, Valentine's Day gifts, New Year's gifts. I've got a bunch of new stuff coming out just in terms of like stickers, pins, merchandise type of crap. But you can find me on Instagram at HPFangs or the internet at www.HPFangs. And that's with an S, not a Z, because I'm not a rapper in 92 anymore.
Oh, well, you were a rapper in 90. Oh, not in 92.
No, maybe. Not in 92. But I also said anymore, so that kind of like saved me.
Yeah, there you go. great, man. Well, it was great to catch up with you, let alone, you know, thanks for helping with this project. And this will be out next week. So
no doubt.
That's our show. Thank you so much for listening. The podcast is produced by me, JT Sondergren. You can find my movie reviews and recommendations on Instagram at Quarantine Film Club or on Letterboxd at Quarantine Film C. You can give both of those pages a follow. Original theme music for the show by Richie Cunning. You could find his work on Spotify and Bandcamp. Just search Richie Cunning. You'll be happy you did. We'll be back next time with more mediocrity from our greatest filmmakers. But until then, remember, you're only as strong as your weakest link.